Hello and welcome to another Lighthouse video podcast. For those of you just joining us, my name is Jeff Glenn. I'm a pastor here at Lighthouse, and it's my joy and privilege to take you through the Word. We've been going through 1 John, and last week we discussed the Christ. And we saw that this is not Jesus' last name, but it's a title, and it's a title that confirms that Jesus is Messiah, the one that came to take away the sins of the world. John continues by saying that he wants that truth of who Jesus is to abide in us, to remain in us. And it would be evidenced by a new life, an eternal life in Christ. And then he gives us encouragement that Jesus will return. In verse 28, he says, "When he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." And so this reminds me of 1 Thessalonians 4:15 through 18. "For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive and who are left until the coming of the Lord," there it is, "until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of a trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." And indeed, that's what John is doing here, is encouraging us, right? This incredible promise that Jesus will return and that he's not forsaken us. And so his return, you know, he will return unless we pass before then, but then we will see him face to face. And that reminds me of the song "In Christ Alone." And some of the lyrics are, "No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand." And so that's it, Christian, right? If you're in Christ, that's what we're waiting for, until he returns or until he calls us home. And there's assurance and confidence in that's like the end of it, or the beginning of it really, but that's what we're waiting for anyway, right? Is until he calls us home, until he returns. Jesus is our hope, and he will return for his people. And so John's driving this point home. And so we pick up that point of our hope and abiding in that truth in chapter 3. "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." And so we come to a phrase here, children of God. Are you a child of God? I've heard it said a lot that, oh, we're all God's children. But however, biblically, we are God's creation, creatures of God. And something has to happen before we can become or be called children of God. And this is an important truth. And so John includes it in his gospel as well, in John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. And so we compare that with 1 John 3:1, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God." So we see that being called a child of God is a gift. It's something that's bestowed on us. It's given to us by God, and we're not working to earn it. Rather, it's something that happens when we believe in Jesus, when we place our faith and trust in him. And so is our belief and our receiving that is this prerequisite of this honor of being called children of God. Jesus had an interaction that John recorded with the Pharisees regarding his claim to be Messiah and setting them free from sin and death. And so we see this in John 8:37 through 44. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. "I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father." They answered him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I have heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works your father did." They said to him, "We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I come from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." So that is a stark contrast, one that I think is best left to Jesus' words, right? It says, you know, God as your father or the devil as your father. And so that's kind of one of those things that's maybe a little hard for our ears to hear. But if you've confessed Jesus as Lord and received him, believing who he is and who he says he is, then you've been adopted into the family. And so hopefully, even though that's a kind of a hard word for today from Jesus, it should be encouraging for those of us who have received him. And if you haven't received him, I urge you to do that today, for today is the day of salvation. And so bless you all and have a great week.